Hello and welcome to Zero Hour. This is Tim Bowring. Today's show is one of an ongoing series that explores Richmond's thriving art scene and the people that make it happen. Over the past 10 years, Richmond's cultural art scene has been quietly growing, attracting numerous talented artists with national and international reputations. Every week on Friday at 12:30, we'll sit down at a Richmond cafe and have lunch with one of these artists. Conversation is live and spontaneous, so pull up a chair and meet some fascinating people. Today, we're having lunch with Ron Johnson. Ron, welcome to Zero Hour. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Last week, I was talking to another artist, and we started talking about motorcycles. And so I thought we probably should start off with you talking about baseball. So
just jump right in, man.
Jump right into that heavy art stuff. So what's going on in the baseball world? Actually, you used to play semi-pro?
No, I played for Ohio State for a year and a half.
Uh-huh.
Had the opportunity to get drafted by the Indians.
Right.
So, yeah, baseball is kind of still my life in a lot of ways, as I'm wearing my New York Mets hat.
Yeah, right.
Proudly wearing it.
Hard to see on radio, but yeah. Nonetheless, bright orange with blue letters.
I can go hunting with this, I think.
Yeah, you can.
Not that I hunt, but...
Yeah, right. But if you wanted to hunt, yes. You could hunt. Hunt with a baseball bat,
yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Old school.
So baseball...
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to leave you hanging there.
You're just going to leave
me. So baseball?
So, yeah, people do ask that question. I actually probably need to just write an entire book about this, but I think maybe for me it's easier to discuss things in terms of baseball. Not easier, but I think it's maybe for me it's more interesting because I try to think of things that and I tell, you know, students and anybody else that I try to make art a little bit more personal. And for me, I grew up playing baseball since I was, you know, 6 years old.
Right.
Not that I wasn't, you know, drawing at that time as well, but my life really was dominated by this thing. And so you know
what's interesting about that is that a lot of people listening have that sort of worn out take on artists who are, you know, crazy... alcoholics. I mean, not that you're not, but crazy alcoholics. And the last thing in the world they think about is baseball.
Yeah.
So now that I've interrupted your train of thought, go ahead.
Well, I just
pick
think
that up again.
You know, I mean, and I'm not going to be able to get into all of it. I just think there's a lot of similarities to how art and baseball kind of react to one another. And I, you know, in terms of like infinite possibilities, you know, a baseball game is never the same. And technically, there's no you know, a baseball game can go on forever. There's
right.
No clock to it. So, you know, there's this relationship. There's a relationship that, you know, everything mentally takes place outside of the lines of a baseball field. You know, you think about what's going on, the coaches. And I like kind of equate that to a surface, you know, like, for instance, a panel, if I'm painting on a panel. Like, you know, you take... what you're thinking about and you take it to this field of play, this panel, this, you know, stretcher, whatever, and mentally you've already like thought about it beforehand, but then when you come to it, it's all kind of reactionary.
Right.
And I've also, you know, I'm kind of ritualistic in a sense that I, you know, baseball has always been this, you know, a practicing thing, you know, like they always say the practice makes perfect. You know, I don't believe the actual perfection in things, but the idea of just the ritual of practice and, you know, getting up in the morning and
right.
You know, sometimes I stand.
Called discipline?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know. It's
right.
Another word for it.
Another word for
it. You know, sometimes I'll sand panels for 4 hours, and it's not about the idea of perfection for me. It's about the idea of ritual, I guess, to, you know, it's like a practice for me. And I've thought, you know, I've had somebody work for me before in the studio, and I'm not comfortable with it because it takes away part of,
uh-huh.
You know, it'd be like having a DH, which I don't like.
Having a what?
A DH, a designated hitter.
Oh, a designated hitter.
Somebody,
okay.
You know, somebody that does a special, you know, specialization.
Uh-huh.
Whereas I think that I like the entire package, not just.
But isn't baseball a team sport?
Oh yeah.
And isn't painting a? But so painting's a team sport.
Sure.
Why not, right?
The royal we.
Your little friend, the 6 foot rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
And, right.
And my dog.
And your dog, right.
And there's always, I'm sure, some of my dog's hair is in my paintings and drawings. So, but I, you know, it's not something that I try to preach on. It's not, you know, baseball is art. Baseball, you know, it's not that. It's just for me, it's a way of.
But you're not talking about baseball. You're talking about.
And I don't paint baseball. That's not what it
right.
is. I mean, I. And
you're
I don't
you're
paint
not doing.
Things,
you're not doing.
No baseball.
Bad
paintings,
art paintings. No. Bad baseball art paintings.
And I think I guess what I like to say that I do is I paint ideas, not things.
Right.
And you know, I'm sure you know, lots of people paint ideas, but I just try to.
It reminds
equate it
me
to
of
something
the.
That's
I mean, not to be
personal.
Too terribly flip here, but it does remind me of the little league coaches who say, "Well, we're not really playing baseball out here. We're preparing these young men for life."
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I mean, it's kind of what you're talking about here.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess maybe that's. I don't know if I want to say I equate it
I mean,
to
do
that.
You see that bleeding into other parts of your life too?
Baseball?
Yeah. Just the whole way you approached it as a kid.
Sure. I mean, there's a discipline to it, you know, just about having this strict, you know, coaching going on. You know, I've played other sports as well, but
right.
baseball is kind of the dominant one for me.
But you're not playing baseball now.
Well, I not in terms of games, no. But I do go hit, and I go throw. And when I'm
well, why don't we tell folks what you're doing now? Because by now they're probably
they're like, "What the hell's going on here?"
Completely confused. Yes, we're going to talk baseball metaphor here.
I
Where
teach at VCU.
Uh huh.
And. And the dogs are visiting, you know.
Yeah, we've just been invaded by dogs at the cafe. that's not really Ron panting in the background.
Well, it could be. I don't know.
It could be. Although, yeah.
Today we're having lunch in Paris where dogs are legal in the restaurant. So.
Okay. All right, we got a little help here. The dogs are out. All right, so it's just where I say who let the dogs out?
Yeah.
Okay. Ooh. The white man's virgin.
Yeah. What were you asking?
I don't know. I think we were talking about baseball, and then we got invaded by dogs at the cafe.
Yeah, I teach at VCU. And
yeah, right. What do you do? What do you do with your life now?
Yeah, that's what I do. I do that and studio time, and as I was saying before we got on here, I've started writing music again. I used to sing when I lived in a different state, so I've actually started writing music on a program on my computer. So,
talk about that a little bit.
Oh, I love singing.
Really?
Yeah.
So you were a singer in a...
Singer in a rock band.
Uh-huh.
And...
Where'd you perform?
Oh, all over the place.
Really?
I mean, we were based in Ohio, but traveled. Played at the infamous CBGBs a couple times, which is...
New York.
Kind of cool, yeah. And... But I do. I mean, I haven't been on stage for a while, and I really do kind of like that energy that is involved in that. And it's, you know, people ask me all the time, you know, would you rather be an artist or a singer? And
right.
You know, it's...
Hang on a second. I'm asking the questions here.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
Would you...
We don't need you. I'll just ask myself questions.
Okay. You ask and answer, I'll just go,
And there's such... It's such a difference to me that being on stage... You kind of lose, at least I did. I would just lose my sense of place. It didn't matter if we were playing in front of 10,000 people or 10 people.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, once the song started going and I'd start singing, it was just, it was like out-of-body experience, not to sound corny, but...
Right, yeah.
I'm sure that does sound
But it's
corny.
Such a different... it's such a different process than painting. I mean, painting's all alone.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball is with a team in front of a crowd. Painting is all alone in a studio. Singing is with a team in front of a crowd.
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting.
I'm an extroverted introvert.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It happens.
So...
I'm a Scorpio. I think, isn't that traditionally a Scorpio?
I have no
That's
idea. I'm
I don't know.
I think I'm
about.
A Pluto. I think it's sort of...
As far away from here as you can be.
Close as I've ever been able to figure out. That's what's your sign, Pluto.
Yeah.
Yeah, that usually slows them down. Let's talk about your work, your painting work. I mean, we've talked a little bit about your baseball work. I'm assuming you're not going back to that anytime soon.
I hope. I hope I am.
You hope you are?
I'd be a 37-year-old rookie. I don't know.
Talk about your work. Talk about your early work.
I
mean, we could probably not skip the, like, six-year-old part of it.
No, I think that actually that plays into it in some. Uh-huh. I actually think about, I want to go back to my dad's house and go into this cabinet where, you know, all my work that I did when I was six.
Right.
And I can distinctly remember when I was a kid, and I, you know, there's this anal part of me that it's kind of funny. It's very architectural or anal or however you want to look at it, that I remember sitting around on January 1st every year when I was a kid, and I would draw the football fields of all the bowl games. So I'd draw the design. I'd like write the, you know, the team's name and, uh-huh. and have the symbol that was from the bowl games. You know, it's very, you know, anal, very...
The football fields?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's very linear and very... Uh-huh. And, you know, sometimes every once in a while I'll see that in like the work I'm doing right now is... I've kind of incorporated this, you know, linear work again,
right.
and it comes in and out, and I don't know, but I think, you know, that's again how I equate the baseball is, like I try to feed in my life into it, you know?
Right.
If you don't do that, I don't know what you're making.
Yeah.
You know, just to say, well, I like Picasso, and then mm-hmm. paint like Picasso. I mean, what does that?
Well,
mean?
It's not about making pretty pictures.
Yeah.
What's it not, about?
I have to make them. I mean, even... You know, I
you
just,
do.
It's...
That's interesting. I think the last interview I said, you know, a lot of people have said, you know, I have to do it to stay sane or,
that's,
you know, I have to make them. Why?
It's not a sanity thing.
What does that mean? Yeah, okay, good.
Because, well,
you know...
Well, maybe I am insane. I don't know. I just make them. I mean, it's like, it's a process for me of just going to the studio. I have to see these things that are in, you know, that I think about.
But here you got a baseball player and a rock and roll singer mm-hmm. who's got to make paintings. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's that about? I mean, can you talk about that, or is it not?
I don't know that there's a reason for it or not. I mean,
uh-huh.
I guess it's like some sort of language thing. Not that I really want particularly that.
What's
I want
the language
people to
about?
I don't know. I don't know that I don't want people
I mean,
to really
it,
understand it. Or,
is it emotion? Is it?
Is it?
Yeah, you said ideas it, I mean, earlier.
Yeah. It's an. I mean, I've.
Give me an idea.
I think the paintings for me, I can't draw them out. I mean, I don't typically ever sketch anything out because there's a three-dimensionality to them. So
to
I
your
can't,
paintings, right.
Mm-hmm. And I can't really describe them for people to really understand.
Right, it, well, it we try not to get into that
sense.
Too much.
Yeah.
And then there's the red corner.
Yeah. But it's, I actually physically have to make them to see them. And
uh-huh.
You know, and I guess everybody can really say that, but I actually, you know, I can't sketch it out and really visualize what it's going to look like until.
Is it a surprise?
A lot of times, yeah.
Yeah.
And I just, it's one of those things that, you know, I love going in the studio. I love.
You do?
Oh, you know, I just, you know, there's times that I just can't wait to get in there.
Uh-huh.
And it's not like I have lots and lots and lots of time, but I just make it.
Yeah.
And that's, like, you know. It's not a need-based thing. It's just, it's a have-to-based thing, you know?
Right.
It's not a struggle. I mean, I always say that to students. It's like, you guys are really lucky you're doing what you want to do. And, you know, I am. I'm doing what I want to do.
Uh-huh.
And I get to go hit baseballs every once in a while, and I get to sing every once in a while, but I also get to be an artist. I mean, what is there to complain about? And
right.
So... I'm a glass half full type of a person for the most part.
Yeah, full type of guy.
Yeah, for the most part. Yeah.
Well, what about? I keep coming back to this, but what about ideas? You know, your paintings. You said you think they're about ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Or they are about ideas.
Yeah, they're
they
about.
They could be ideas. Or
yeah, and you know, again, it goes back.
What I'm trying to get at is if someone's listening who doesn't understand anything about the artistic process, right?
Right.
And their whole understanding of it is artists are crazy people who go into the studio and draw and paint realistic images that are pretty to look at, which is, I mean, to you and I and a lot of people listening is kind of astounding sort of take on it.
Well, I think that's fine. I mean, I don't have a problem. You know, I think some artists do have a problem with the idea of pretty, and I don't necessarily
not
like
so
the
much
idea
pretty,
pretty
but I'm just talking about the underlying process of what's going on. I mean, it's almost as though the actual finished picture is a very it sounds crazy, yeah. but it's a very small part of the whole thing.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's for me, it's like when I'm done with something, it's like out of sight, out of mind in some ways, because I actually consider everything I do as a sketch. And that's going back to what I was saying earlier, is that I don't actually sketch things out. I have to make an actual piece for me to really understand it. And so in a lot of ways, they are sketches.
Is there a place you're headed?
I hope so.
Yeah?
But I don't necessarily care.
Uh-huh.
I just...
Is it an adventure?
Yeah, absolutely.
It is.
Yeah.
And so it sort of is unfolding?
Is something, yeah, because I think that the screw-ups are way more important.
Why? Why is that?
Well, because you learn something from when you mess up.
Uh-huh.
That was a proper English. You learn something from when you... I don't even know.
It's okay. Yeah. We can edit this.
Okay,
I can make you sound...
like a genius?
Yeah, oh, yeah, exactly.
Can you go genius? No. I love it when I mess up. I mean, and I consider that I mess up on everything. Again, it's I'm not trying for perfection in any sense of the word. But you strive for that. You know, and this is going back to the sports analogy.
Whatever perfection. Yeah.
I don't know that there is. I mean, if there is a perfection, I don't really want to get there.
Right.
Because what do you do when that happens? Not that there is that so-called thing, but. I think
that's when you kill yourself.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, it's like, again, that's a sports analogy. It's like, you know, you practice makes perfect.
Right.
And that's not, you know, it's not true.
But how do you keep scoring art?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, in baseball, you practice and you have a batting average and it gets better, it gets worse, and you've got errors and you make them or you don't.
I think it's a personal thing. For me, it's...
I mean, in that sense, it's one is very, very structured.
Yep.
Baseball is very structured. And art is or is not for you?
Oh, I think it is.
It is.
I mean, I have a very routine, a routine that I do kind of stick to. That I get up in the morning, work in the studio for an hour or so, depending on what the work day is like.
Right.
And then I come home and I'll work out, go play basketball, whatever. Then I'll come home and go to the studio again.
Yeah.
So it's it is
singing the whole time though, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, singing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right.
We can splice in some of my music,
We could. We could. I'll do that. I'll get it.
Can
hum a few. Would you like to sing a song for us now?
No. It's too early, isn't it? I don't know.
Yeah, right.
No, I mean, it is, and I guess in a lot of ways, I don't know that routine is typical for other people. I don't know. I mean, I just really concern myself with my sensibility. I don't know if it's normal. I don't really care if it's normal.
Right.
It is for me.
Has your work changed over the last 5 years or so? Or
yeah.
Has it?
Yeah.
How is that?
I kind of came back to some things that I had learned as an undergrad at Ohio State. I think I get outside of what painting and drawings, like my main body of work, just so I can see things in a different way, and then kind of bring those ideas into my main body of work. And I hope to continue that forever, But in a lot of ways, I'm very interested in this, the main body, I guess. I keep saying that word, but I don't know what that means, but... just this idea of what I'm really interested in, but I'll branch off just because I think the branch.
What are you really interested in?
What am I really interested in?
I mean, besides baseball.
I don't know. What am I? I don't know. I mean, I'm interested in a lot of things. But I.
I mean, color, form.
Sometimes.
Surface.
Sometimes. Yeah.
But this body of work you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
It seems like there's some sort of core that you...
Yeah, I mean, at heart, there's probably that... I mean, I guess the main... God,
it almost seems like you're drilling towards something.
Yeah.
The good news is you don't know what you're drilling towards. The better news is that you seem to enjoy the process and are usually either gratified through learning through mistakes or discovering something new.
Mm-hmm.
So there seems to be a portion of your life that that gives you a certain richness that you can't get any other way.
Yeah.
That is almost indescribable.
I mean, there is.
Because a lot of people, why do people do this? Why do they, why do they paint?
Idea.
Yeah. You know, I mean, why do they?
In a lot of ways, I think it's totally silly. But I also think it's great. I mean, it's. Pigment.
But silly's good.
Absolutely.
Silly's good. I mean, in terms of, and I've talked about this with other people, the whole concept of play, which is really sort of a more of a philosophical concept, and you were talking about childish things or childhood, the whole concept of play, not in the terms of the way that children play, but in the terms of the way that very, very sophisticated people, like Picasso, you could watch him almost play with the medium.
But it still could be childlike in terms.
It's childlike, yeah. But it's not childish.
No.
Because
no.
What
yeah.
The difference is that you are throwing away all the shoulds and should nots, or at least trying to, and exploring without any rules, without, in sort of a free form kind of way, to see what you're going to discover.
Yeah.
I mean, is that part of what you do?
I think I set rules up. I mean, I think everybody sets rules up in some way, whether they're way out there or not. I mean, for me, I think they're kind of stringent, and maybe that's just my not upbringing, but at least how I grew up. I set parameters in my work. I set up these. The canvas strips, and for those that don't understand, I'm sorry, but I set up these things that are boundaries / parameters / something that's going.
Well, you're getting back more towards taking a piece of canvas, cutting it
to
it's about a quarter of an inch, in width, and then laying it so it's almost standing up off the canvas.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to use this because it's not, but imagine that being sort of in an S form.
Yeah.
And then using that as how is that a parameter?
Because as at times I'll pour paint, and that actually acts as a boundary,
right?
And it'll keep it's like a damming of paint,
right?
Damming mean,
right?
A
darning of paint, you
yeah,
mean?
Darning,
for,
yes,
for
exactly.
Baptist friends, yes.
But I think and then it's that to me is like it's ironic in some way. It's also silly in some way because.
Right.
I'm using canvas as a mark-making tool. I'm using canvas as something that's keeping paint away instead of holding paint.
Right.
And, I'm not trying to be majorly ironic. And it is ironic, I think, in some ways, but I think it's also just kind of goofy. And
when you say ironic, what do you mean?
Well, I canvas is traditionally used as an acceptor of paint. This is used as something that's keeping paint away from other areas. So, and it's also used, canvas really is not traditionally used as a mark making device. This is, and it's used in a way that, I'll paint on a side of, usually on one side of the canvas, and the canvas that has the paint on it, usually I'll think about how I want it or what color I want it to be, so it'll actually reflect. So there's this idea that there's a mark being made by something that's not even really there. It's like a reflection. And, then it gets into what is reflection, what is, and that's getting really theoretical and all that stuff, which I like, but it's not something I don't want to be heavy-handed with it.
Are you thinking while you're doing this?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'll throw down the canvas strip on the panel or the paper that I'm drawing on and let it sit for days before I actually attach it. It's move it around. It's not something. Sometimes I do haphazardly throw it down because I think there is something interesting about the idea of, just having something go where it goes. But I also, I'd say it's probably, maybe traditionally it becomes a 50-50 process for me, where it is haphazard versus like really laying it out.
Is this a place where you can be free?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It can be.
It can also not be, I guess.
Yeah. At all.
Can you draw well?
I don't know.
Because, a lot of people think that art has to do with being able to draw well. You think that's true?
No. I don't think it has anything to do with that.
Really?
I mean,
what do you
maybe 500 years ago.
Yeah.
Not now.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, you know, we do have photography now, mm-hmm. you know, and that's sort of...
That's why I say I don't really paint or draw things.
Right.
I paint ideas because...
I'm
horribly interested in the idea of the between.
Really?
I've said a couple things, but yeah. You know.
What does that mean?
I don't know that it's defined. I don't know. Between things is just kind of, it can be anything. I'm horribly interested in it, but it's not something I really like to talk about.
Right.
Because, you know, I don't know that there's actual answers, and I'm not a scientist. And I'm not, you know. It's like when people start talking about philosophy, and I love to read philosophy, but when they start talking about a French philosopher as if they know the guy.
Right.
And...
Well, let's talk about Foucault for a while.
And Deleuze. I love to read the stuff because a lot of it I don't really understand, and I'll reread it. But so much of it's probably lost in translation. And to sit here and quote these guys without knowing
right.
them, and... You know, maybe this goes back to why I talk
about
baseball.
Well, here's what's interesting, and I'm afraid we're just about out of time.
Okay.
But what's interesting is that somehow you've managed, primarily through most of your life, to do the things that you love:
mm-hmm.
baseball, painting, singing again, right?
Well,
which I think is really kind of wonderful, because think of how many people there are out there who've never had any of those. Now, I mean, I'm serious. You know, I mean, it's almost a tragic thought when you think about it. But, I mean, there are people who have had sort of horrible jobs and,
I will always say I'm very, very lucky. I mean, I played baseball in front of thousands of people and got to go to college to play baseball. Had an opportunity to play in, you know, the pros. And I sang music in front of, you know, we... played a show in front of 10,000 people at one time, and walking out on stage in front of a sea of people, it's insane.
Yeah.
And, you know, I get to travel overseas and
not
show
bad.
My artwork. There's things that suck in life also,
right,
but,
sure.
but, you know, you, I'm very lucky. So, but I think anybody that does this is lucky. I try to.
Yeah.
Let them remember that, you know, that it is, you know, it's kind of cool.
It's interesting. I mean, we talked about the word play,
mm-hmm.
and when you think about it, baseball is referred to as a kid's game.
Yep.
Art can be referred to as play, and singing in a rock and roll band can be considered sort of, you know, that's just not a very serious thing, you know, singing in a rock and roll band. But I think you're on to something. So,
yeah.
And we got to end there, I'm afraid. Thanks for coming in. And thank you, folks, for tuning in to Zero Hour. I hope you've enjoyed our lunch together. We look forward to seeing you next Friday on the radio at 12:30. This is Tim Bowring. You're listening to WRIR 97.3 FM. It's indie radio. It's radio for the rest of us.